Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8. They all plot together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Verse 9. But we pray to our God and post a guard day and night to meet this threat. Here in the book of Nehemiah, as we are all familiar with, this talks about the Israelites, how they rebuild the city wall so that once again they can return to the city and they can rebuild. They are able to live there once again. But as they were proceeding to the work, now they're putting efforts. They all gather. They are start building the wall. And it was a very nice work. Every day they see some progress. Every day they see some improvement. But at this very moment, enemy came. Threats comes into their work. So for you to be here today, since the first day you got here, every day you are building the wall. Building the wall in your heart. Every day you are building up this strong fortress to protect you from the attack of Satan. So thank God, day by day you see improvements. Day by day you see the war Iraq getting taller and taller. But at this time, be very careful. Because now your enemy wants to attack you. So now let's look at how did the enemy attack the people? How does the enemy trying to stop the work? What are the tactics? What are the methods? And we should also learn how they defense against the attack of the enemy. Let's read verse 10. Verse 10, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." So where is the problem? What's the problem that might stop you or that might stop them from rebuilding the city wall? The first problem, they are too much rubbles. Too much work, too much rubbles, way beyond the workers' ability to rebuild. So if today in your life, they are just way too much rubbles for you to carry, to the point that you use up all your strength and you look, it's still a pile like a mountain, then you get discouraged and then you will give up. So now, once again, looking to our schedule. Now, of course, right now, please do not look at the schedule at your folder. In here, you are fine because we make the schedule for you. So we have scheduled you to pray, to attend the class, and to read the Bible. But what happened after this? What happened after NYT is, after you go home, now you are having a different schedule. A schedule that you make for yourself. What kind of schedule that might be? Ask yourself, you know that nowadays, the young people, they have computer, they have gadgets, they take out calendar, load their calendar. Wow, piles and piles of things that they need to do. You know, sometimes I wonder, for students in your age, you just go to school. Why are you having so many events in your calendar? From morning 7:30 all the way to the evening at 10:30, 11, 12, there are always things to do. Sometimes it's hard for me to comprehend why will you be so busy. But perhaps you have your own reason. But you know that now we need to look at our calendar. Look at how we distribute our time. Look at what we do every single day. It might make you feel that if I list out all these things, if I pile every time slot, I got something to do. It might make me feel that I fully maximize my time. It might feel that, hey, I live my day without wasting a minute. But if you stop, if you think again, you double check your schedule and then ask yourself, how many events that you have scheduled on the daily basis are pertaining to your faith? Maybe an hour, maybe nothing at all. Also, what's the problem for the Israelites that they lose the strength to continue to rebuild the wall? It's because they have too many things. Their life is too busy. Busy from morning to the evening. Busy to the point that they don't have any time to think. They don't have any time to rest. They don't have any time to meditate. And they don't have any time to think about God. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. This is a very interesting verse. It says, be still, be rest, and know that I am God. Then you might wonder, knowing God, how is it related to taking a rest? How does it relate to having a break? You feel that, hey, I'm taking a break, I sit on the sofa and do nothing. How does that help me to know God? But we have to understand, taking a rest has everything to do with our spirituality. If you are always occupied, either physically or mentally, by something, always, to the point that you don't even have a moment for you to calm down, to relax, and to meditate, have a moment of quietness, nothing else, no one else, just between God and you, or you and God. If you can never do that, it will be very hard for you to know God. Also, today, the first problem of Israelites is too much rubble, occupied, never have time to rest. So their strengths were used up. Let's turn back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 11, the second problem. Nehemiah chapter 11, chapter 4, verse 11. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11. And here says, then the Jew, verse 11, also our enemies say, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. So the second way the enemy will try to attack you is to make your life unrest. It can be from several different perspectives. You come to church, someone didn't greet you. Get angry. You talk to someone, and in the conversation, something you don't like, you get angry. You feel that, hey, why did you say this? Why did you do that? Always something that provokes you. Always something that you feel like to complain about. Always something that you don't like in the church or among the church members. You know that if, what is the best way for Satan to attack us is to make you dislike somebody. It's make you dislike something that you see. So that when there is no rest, you are very uneasy, then you don't want to come to church. When you cannot get along with the people, then you don't want to come to church. So the enemy secretly enter into your life. The enemy secretly enter your friendship and try to cause chaos, unrest, so that you have this fear, uncomfortableness, and drive you away from your faith. So today, do not be deceived. Now today, if you have any uncomfortableness or any quarrels, disputes with anyone, do not take it lightly. Do not take it personal. Because God wants to use that as the way to drive you away. Secretly go into your life and kill you. And make you afraid. Make you stop the work of rebuilding the city. And let's look at the third way. How Satan will try to stop you from building this holy wall in your life. Let's turn to verse 12. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 12. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack us. This is the third problem What is the third problem? You are too close to the enemy. Too close to the enemy. So you spend all your energy, worry, fear, prevent, protect from the attack of the enemy. So do you have time to build a wall? No, you don't. So how does it apply to us? Today, when you want to rebuild this holy wall, rebuild the spiritual wall in your life, but you allow yourself always near the enemy, always in the environment that God displeased, always serving, doing something on the internet, giving your chance to be tempted, or always being idle, sit there, don't know what to do, no goal, no perspective, no objective in your life, wasting your time away. So you start sitting there and start thinking, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. Browsing on the internet, maybe let's look at this, maybe let's look at that. When you always immerse yourself or tolerate yourself to be in a dangerous environment and figure you will be fine, that's when the danger comes. So where you go to school, in the future, where you work, who do you usually hang out with? What kind of language or conversation you always engage yourself into? Where do you tend to browse on the internet? How far are you from the enemy? Sometimes you see, I'm strong. It's okay. I'm from NYTS. My face is strong. So I can be around the enemy and I will never be conquered. Think again. You know that when the Israelites, as we learned from the book of Joshua, when the Israelites were crossing the River Jordan, two and a half tribes decided not to go. They say, you know, look at this wonderful plan, perfect for us, so we don't want to go. And they didn't go. Anything happened? In the beginning, nothing. Why? Because at that time, Israel is very powerful. Military strength, huge population. Everybody are afraid of them. So in the beginning, anything went wrong? Nothing. But later on, who gets to be attacked by the enemy first? Who gets to be taken captive by the enemy first? Who gets to be destroyed by the enemy first? Is the one that stays on the other side of the river. It's the one that's much closer to the enemy. It's the one that refuses to be protected by the natural barrier of Jordan River. The barrier God protect them, God used to protect them. So today, if you are always allow yourself to be in an unholy environment, to always be a tempting situation, you are asking for trouble. In here says they don't have time to rebuild the city because they are too afraid. They are too near the enemy. They spend all their time looking back. Am I going to be under attack? Always looking back. Where's the enemy? Always afraid. So today, where you live, where do you allow yourself to be exposed to? Ask yourself how close you are from your enemy. So this is the three problems that they face. First, too busy. Second, unrest. Cannot get along with people. The third, when you have enemy among you, cannot have rest. The third, too close to the enemy. So we use that to reflect upon our life. Perhaps one of their problems is our problem as well. Also, now we should look into how they overcame that, though. Yes, they face the problem, and today we might face the same problem. Now let's look how they overcome their problem. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. It says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. You know, this is a verse that we always need to keep in our heart. Oh, we always need to keep in our heart. Who is our helper? Who is our Lord? Oh, our Lord is great and awesome. Oh, so when you are under distress, when you are facing temptations, when you need to deal with challenge of life, you think you are too weak, you think the rubble is too heavy, you think the enemy is too tough, remember one thing, our Lord is mighty and awesome. And this law is the law that will help you. Also, never feel that you are too weak. Because as long as you have God helping you, you will be all right. Yes, you might not have the strength, but God has the strength. You might not be able to do it, but as long as you lean on Him, you rely on Him, as long as you have Him as your Lord, remember your Lord. Great, mighty, powerful. He can do it for you. What's the second thing they do? Let's turn to verse 13. Verse 13, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest point to the wall at the exposed place, posting them by families with their sword, spear, and bows. Let's turn to verse 16. From the day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with the spear, shield, bows, and armor. So, here says the second thing, what do you do? Oh, when you want to build a city, yeah? When the enemy are looking for opportunity to attack you, what do? You need to equip yourself. Equip yourself. Armor, swords, spears, weaponries, helmets, shield, so that you can fight the war when the enemy comes. But what do? You one hand hold the weapon, the other hand you do the work. This reminds us that whenever we participate in any type of spiritual work, holy work, even how we conduct our life. Always, when you do the work, always hold the sword. Always be prepared. You know that if you say, this is too heavy. Bearing the armor is too heavy. Come on, Jerusalem, in the Middle East. So hot, like Arizona. Too hot. And you want me to, you know, carry the stones, build a city with my armory? Too much. Let me take it off. If you take it off and have an easy way out, you could. You could take an easy way out. If you take an easy way out, an arrow out of nowhere might have shoot you and kill you because you are not ready. You never know when the enemy comes. If you are to have a comfortable life, to have an easy way. So you take away the armory, take away the protection when the enemy surprises you. You won't be ready for it. So always have your weapons. The Bible in Ephesians, it talk about weapons. No? He talk about what kind of weapons. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talk about the armory, the weapons that we always need to carry. Huh? In one of the SSC, there was a brother who testified. He testified that in his dream, he dreamed about the students, students and the counselors who are fighting with a dark image, the enemies, fighting. And then as he looked, he saw some counselors with a big sword. A huge sword can defend a huge area, fighting many enemies at the same time. But at the same time, there are some students, who are holding a sword without any, which we call it, the blade. You know, just the handle. You only got the handle and a small piece. Who? They can't do anything. They can't even protect themselves. So today, ask yourself, how big is the sword that you are holding? Is it enough even to protect yourself, let alone protecting the people next to you? So pray hard. The Bible told us that the sword is the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. You come, you pray hard, you shout out your voice, you open your mouth, pray hard. Oh, so when you hold a big sword, not only you are very safe, you can protect yourself, and also you can defend your brothers and sisters. Pray for them, protect them. You can defend a huge range, huge area, be a useful person in God's house. Pray hard. Oh, so how big is your sword? I don't know. When you come and pray, you ask God. Oh, ask God. God, I need something other than the handle. Oh, please, give it to me. Oh. So what's the third thing? Oh, what's the third thing? Let's read verse 15. Huh? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. When our enemy heard that we were aware of their plot and that God has frustrated it, we all returned to the war, each to his own work. In here, he told us another thing. He says that the enemy heard that we see through, we see through, we heard, we're able to see through their plot. Then the enemy need to give up on the plot. Oh, need to give up on the plot. Let's read a verse. Huh? Let's read First Corinthians. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And here's the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Huh? Here tells us that if you are a spiritual man, you are able to see through a lot of things, which means that you are not easily. You won't fall into the snare. You won't fall into the plot that's plotting against you. Oh. So today, Satan is setting up a lot of traps in our life. You might think, oh, Satan, oh, so scary. He's setting up a trap for us. You know that everything upgrades today, including Satan. Satan also upgrades to a better version. Today, when Satan tried to lure you, tried to tempt you, he doesn't jump out and try to scare you. It doesn't work. He learned from the past experience because he knows that if he scares you like this, what do? You go and believe Jesus. You phone us with the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't work anymore. So now he played with a different way, a much gentle way, but which we call it, killing you softly. Softly. Like cooking the frog, NYTS, we talk about cooking the frogs. Slowly, small fire. Things that you do, which that you enjoy. You feel, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then you to see through the plot, then you fall for it. By the time you realize, wow, the water is too hot, too bad, you are half cooked, so you cannot jump out of the pot. You know that we need to pray to God, give us the wisdom, because at the end time, it just gets worse. You know, for my generation, but when I look at your generation, you have it even worse. The temptation, the snare, the possibility that the Satan always wandering around you looking for opportunity to attack you, you had it much tougher. And it's just going to get worse and worse as the day goes on. So you need to pray hard and ask God to grant you the wisdom, so that you are able to see through the plot of your enemy. So into it. You know that sometimes we, on the podium, every NYTS, every SSC, we keep on telling you what might be Satan's plot. Be careful, be careful, be careful. So some youth, smart, they heard, they remember, and they took caution. So when they see the plot, they make a detour, right? But they are just some youth. They heard, they learned, and they saw it. Now here's a plot. Let me try if it really hurts. And then they fall into it. Try to see if it's really painful or if it really hurts. Because sometimes when you do it, you might not be able to get out of it. So learn. Learn from what you hear, what you heard. Learn from other people's study experience. Oh, don't allow yourself to be the victim of the plot of Satan. Oh. Let's turn back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 18. Of the builder wore his sword at his side and as he worked. But the men of the trumpet stayed with me. 19. Then I say to the noble, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Verse 20. Whenever you hear the sound of trumpet, join us. Our God will fight for us. You know, the work is extensive. So the city wall, people, they don't have many people, so they spread out. When the enemy comes, what happens? They need to sound the trumpet. When you hear the trumpet, you need to gather. Why? When you gather, you can fight against the enemy. Eight, you know that we all have our own private life, a life away. Once you left the church, once you left NYTS, you get back to the school life, your personal life. You know, sometimes we don't always get together. Have your own time, a lot of your private personal time. It feels like as we are separated along this big wall. What do? You need to sound the trumpet if you need help. You need to sound the trumpet. Sometimes people are unwilling. They are in trouble already. They are facing temptation already. They are struggling, trying to survive. But they are not making the sound of the trumpet because, embarrassing. Now I don't want people to know I'm weak. Now I don't need prayer. I will do it myself. You know that you need to be willing to shout out for help. Because you might be on a big wall and you are in this area. But you know what? When you sound the trumpet, your brother will be there for you. Your sister will be there for you. Help you, pray for you, support you, carry you. You need help. Let people know. Do not be too bashful to ask for help. Do not think that I can do it on my own. Because you know what? Sometimes the enemy might be too much and too strong for you to handle alone. So the Lord told us that we are all members of the same body. So what do? We are in this together. And for every one of us, if today you hear the sound of trumpet, you hear the sound, someone crying out for help, what do? You have two choices. You have two choices. You can always say to yourself, I am busy. Didn't you see I have so much work to do? I still have a lot of work to finish this war. I don't have time for it. You can say to yourself, it's too dangerous. Enemy is right there. On the west side of the wall, let me go to the east. You can avoid confrontation, avoid fear, avoid enemies, avoid to help. Because what? When you go and help, it takes sacrifice. It takes your time. It takes your energy. It takes your devotion. It takes a lot of time for you to kneel down. It might take a lot of time for you to be on the phone to comfort a person. Too much sacrifice. I couldn't do it. So when you hear the sound of trumpet, you can refuse to go. You could. If you do that, maybe nobody will say a thing to you, but God will look on and say, you didn't do your job. You didn't go for your brothers. You didn't fight for them. So how do they defend their enemy? How do they defend their enemy? It's that when they hear the trumpet, everybody gather. We are all in this together. Let's fight our enemy as one. So did you hear the trumpet that was blowing by your brother or sister today? They are shouting for your help, shouting for your support. How can you live in your wonderful, complacent comfort zone and just enjoy your sweet time when your brother are crying out for help. Have you heard the trumpet? Are you ready to help? Gear up, stand up, and we shall all join together to fight for the Lord. Let's all come forward to pray.